I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily community meditation, where today we're talking about God is always working. Jesus says, my Father is always working. But he also says, I'm also working, but it's not me who does the work. It's the Father in me that's doing the work. Psalm 121, I believe it's verse 4, says that God neither slumbers nor sleeps. There's some promises in that psalm just about God watching over us and protecting us, but how he never slumbers or sleeps. So we're going to be taking communion over this today, just asking God for it, for wisdom and insight and understanding, just to help us understand he's always working. And it's the Father in us that does the work. Jesus says of his own self, he could do nothing. And I believe it's the same is true for us. Of our own self, we can do nothing, but God working in us, nothing is impossible with him. And he's always working. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I had pretty much no spiritual life whatsoever. I was just doing life on my own without God, separated from him. Unfortunately, I was walking in darkness and didn't even know it. My life was very unbalanced. I was stressed all the time, had just the weight and pressure of life on me. At the time, I'm running my personal training gym business, and the business got started really well. We started to grow, but then we ran into all these issues of staff turnover and got some months where I'm losing thousands of dollars in a month. And I just remember going for a walk with my wife around the neighborhood one evening and just telling her over and over, there's got to be a better way to live. There's got to be more to life than this. And it wasn't for a lack of seeking. I had been traveling all over the country studying with the best health and fitness experts in the world. Been reading books, taking courses on health and fitness and business and finance and all the different areas of life, areas like family and marriage. And I was seeking after truth, but I wasn't finding what I was looking for. I went through a phase where I probably read a book a week for something like 10 years straight, probably at least, was seeking after truth. But then one day I came across this challenge to start reading one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. Proverbs has 31 chapters. So on day one of the month, you read Proverbs chapter one. Day two of the month, you read Proverbs chapter two, and then you keep going like that until the end of the month, and then you start back over again. Now, immediately, I got started with this challenge, and I began to notice my way of doing things and God's way of doing things were definitely not in alignment with each other. God began to renew my mind about some things. And then after a while of doing this, one day, Proverbs 13:22 just seemed to jump off the page at me. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we could pass on to future generations? After some time of thinking about it, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing we could pass on would be wisdom or teaching or training for how to truly live. And so I made a commitment that day. I want to pass on manuals, lessons, systems, teaching, training for all the different areas of life, areas like purpose and health and family, finances, order, time, and community. But really, when I got started, I had no clue where to start. So I began to seek after God, began to press into him. And from that point on, my relationship with him just began to grow exponentially. He began to show up. He began to teach me and to train me. And I just simply began to document what he was taking me through. And over the course of about 10 years now, it's turned into this whole program we have called the Abundant Life Blueprint with books and courses and partners. But out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, I believe the most important thing is daily communion. Daily communion is what I call the number one table turner for all of life. Has the ability to just turn things around, to turn the tables and change the trajectory of our lives going forward. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir his sacrifice into our mind and remembrance, helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And personally speaking, I found communion is this opportunity that we can activate these promises that God has made in our lives and to begin to walk in them, to begin to see God fulfilling on them in our lives. And we can combine the spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus to pull that into our soul, into our mind and remembrance and imagination, and to combine it with something practical and physical that we actually do in the taking of the cracker and the juice, because physical things can serve as triggers that help us to remember. You probably have things around your house, pictures or certain things around your house that trigger certain memories. The cracker and the juice can trigger these memories for us, help us to remember and not forget. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, we take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep awe and reverence and honor for the sacrifice of Jesus. And I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember God loved us so much, he sent his one and only Son. Jesus is willing to humble himself even unto death on a cross. We remember all that he went through in the lead up to the cross, all that he went through on the cross. But then we remember the other side. What his sacrifice means for us, that he connects us back to God, makes us right and holy, perfect in God's sight. We can have this new covenant relationship with God. I think it's important we remember both sides of that. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves, because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive if we take it the right way, to make us healthy and strong and give us long life. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips and advice. Because I truly believe physical exercise is meant to teach us how to exercise our faith, to experience God doing the work through us. And then once we understand how to do that, we can apply those same principles into the other areas of our life. So let's get started with our prayer. And then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today. Help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is our time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? We have to have this eternal perspective with God, but our relationship with him has got to be brought down into today to impact everything that we do today. And remember, masters of anything are simply masters of the fundamentals. That's where we talk about executing these four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some energy and some fun into these fundamentals today. Now, before we get into the fundamentals, let's do a quick reminder. God's got a process. When he brought the Israelite people from Egypt to the promised land, there was a process they had to go through. They weren't able to just go straight into the promised land. He had to take them through some steps and phases because they had to learn to do things God's way. In our own lives, we have to put off our old ways and learn to do things God's way. It's been my experience. In the beginning, God released them out of darkness. He brings them out of slavery and bondage. They cross the Red Sea, which the Bible says was like their baptism. They get immersed in this into a new way of living. They cross over into the wilderness, and God begins to prove his faithfulness and his trustworthiness in the wilderness. He takes care of them. He supplies for them. While they're in the wilderness, he gives them a glimpse of this promised land, a glimpse of something better for their life. But unfortunately, most of the people reject it because it looks impossible to take. They're looking at what they can do on their own rather than what God can do in their life. And unfortunately, for most of the people, they want to go back to the way things were, and they never get to go into the promised land. But a few people, the young people, get raised up eventually to go into the promised land, the people with childlike faith. They just simply believe God's got something better. He's got these amazing promises for us to walk in our lives. Then they got to cross over the Jordan River, which took a step of faith. Because with the Jordan River, the waters didn't part until they stepped into them first. You got to be willing to take that first step of faith, even when it looks impossible. They cross over, and then they had to go through a circumcision, a cutting away of the old ways, embracing a new way of doing things. And it's here God tells them, it's going to take you more than a year to possess the promised land. Otherwise, the beasts would become too many. It's during this transition time, I believe that we have to learn how to rest. We have to learn how to trust in him because we can't take it through our own effort and willpower. We got to learn to rest and trust and allow God to do the work to step into these promises that he has for us. So let's talk about our first fundamental. Let's get positioned in the light today. This is the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in-between. How are we going to get positioned in the light? We're going to start with humility. Jesus says, you want to become great in the kingdom of heaven, you got to humble yourself like this little child. Childlike faith and humility just simply believes in God. We're going to humble ourselves in relationship to God, humble ourselves in relationship to other people. Because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle. We're going to walk in forgiveness and grace with other people. We're going to take our position in love today, kind and patient and gentle. Always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs. Always hoping, always trusting, always persevering. Because love never fails. We're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. One of the greatest expressions of faith, one of the easiest ways to maintain our positioning all day long. And being in position is a big deal because it puts us in position to receive everything that God has for us. Imagine a quarterback and a receiver. The quarterback throws a pass, but the receiver runs in the wrong direction. He's out of position to receive. When we step into the light, we're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything that he has, and he put it all in Christ. We get this amazing opportunity. We get to be in him today. So this day today, we have access to his spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom. He's got health and energy for today. He's got more than enough time to get it all done today. He supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. We become part of his family. We've got fellowship with God, fellowship with people. It's all in there available to be received today. We have to learn how to receive it. And then we've got to learn how to get it flowing through us out into the world, where we see the fruit of it, the result of it in our lives. That's where we talk about our second fundamental, which is to magnify the light. To magnify, we're going to turn up the brightness of this to make it bigger or greater. And it's going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. It's also going to get this new covenant rooted and established in our hearts. We have hearts that understand God's grace, who become more fixed and consistent when the issues and pressures of life come our way. And to magnify the light, it's all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? I think of it as meditation. When I think of meditation, I think of constant repetition. What are those things that we're just rolling over and over and over on the inside? What are those things that we're just consistently speaking about over and over again? So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word, his unfailing love and faithfulness, his mighty works that nothing's impossible with him. We could magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got peace with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives. We could magnify every good thing that he put within us. We've got this treasure in jars of clay. And just stay focused on all the things that are going well. Looking back at all that God has already done in our lives, because what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion. He's going to sustain it by the power of his word. Just recently, we've been magnifying Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. He forgives all of our sins, heals all of our diseases, redeems our life from the pit, crowns us with steadfast love and mercy, satisfies our desires with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. And you could just meditate on that. Just be thinking about it. Be speaking it all throughout the day is a way to magnify that light. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply choosing to bring them into the light. And we're going to magnify God as bigger than those problems. We're going to let them go. We're going to give them to God. We're going to magnify him as bigger, because he's a whole lot better at solving those problems than we are. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could just do things our own way. Stay stuck in pride and rebellion, bitterness, unforgiveness, insisting on our own way, venting, complaining, pouting, toiling away in our mind, all that pressure sitting on us, trying to figure it all out, rather than resting and trusting in him. And that's where we got to learn to recognize the symptoms. Because wherever we're positioned, whatever we're magnifying is going to produce some symptoms in our life. When we're out of position or we're magnifying the wrong things, there might be the tendency to retaliate at people or snap at people, might withhold good things that we know to do because someone did something we didn't like. We might avoid people or give them the silent treatment. We might isolate ourselves. On the inside, there might be this heaviness and weight and pressure, like it's all sitting on you. Might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness, powerlessness, like there's nothing you can do, like you're trapped or you're stuck, and it seems like there's no way out. Low energy is another big symptom. I think of it like a black hole. It just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry. We're toiling away in our mind. We're dreading things in the future, envisioning all these worst case scenarios. We get stuck in these vicious cycles that just seem to keep repeating over and over again. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless and energizing because he's doing the work rather than us. And his spirit and power and peace and joy and love, his mind and wisdom, his health and energy. He supplies his time. He supplies our needs. It all just begins to flow. And now all of a sudden we've got hope in any and every situation, because we've got God with us. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace, that if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around. Because every day, life's throwing stuff at us to try to knock us out of position, to try to get us to magnify the wrong things. And sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we get off track. And it's learning to recognize those symptoms quickly and to turn it back around. How do we do it? I think we start with humility. Father, forgive me. I've missed it. We receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves in the middle. If we need to say we're sorry or reconcile with some other people, we take those steps. And then we just start praising and thanking him for his grace and his goodness and his love. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put within me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming my way today in a beautiful, graceful way. Help me to tap into it and to see it flowing in my life at a greater level. You pray that simple prayer, you'll be amazed at the shift that you see. You feel that weight just lift off you. You feel the peace and the joy and the love wash over you on the inside. Then our third fundamental, we got to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us, but we got to stay tuned into Him. My favorite way to do this is with the journal before bed. And lately, we've talked about installing some what we call filters at the top of our journal. These filters are just short phrases, maybe one word, maybe a short sentence that we keep rewriting every night at the top of our journal as a way to reinforce God's standards for our life. And those standards help to navigate us throughout the day when we're faced with decisions and things that we need to navigate through throughout the day. For example, it might look something like this. God is always working. He's working continually for my good. And I'm going to do continually good for others. And that short phrase just helps to keep us reminded of Him every day. That He's working for our good, and we're going to do continually good for others, even when they push our buttons, even when they wrong us. We're going to give them the same grace God has given us. And then I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get in position. And then to magnify what went well today. What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? Because the more we look for them, the more of them we're going to see. And then I like to ask this question, God, what were you trying to show me today? And just get still and listen. Whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write those things down. It's important to get it out of our heads and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then we got to stay tuned in throughout the day. He's trying to navigate us throughout the day. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection with Him, just take 1 to 2 minutes. Just slow down. Take a couple deep breaths. Get aware of His presence with you. Think of it like plugging in a phone. You're going to get charged up or powered up in Him again. And then our fourth fundamental. Doing what we know to do today. As we stay tuned into Him, He's going to show us what to do. So the final thing I like to do in my journal every night is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because I learned sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I'm taking action on things that I don't know to do yet. I'm toiling away in my mind, trying to figure things out, trying to force things to happen ahead of schedule. And the grace is not there. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. And I'm getting behind God. So I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? That becomes the plan for the day. And it's just amazing how that just takes so much pressure off as well. And then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day. And we remember this very important principle, that the first thing out of our mouth sets the tone for the whole day. And as I began to learn about this, I began to seek God. What's the best thing for us to say first thing in the morning? And I felt like God was taking me back to Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning of the Bible. The first words we see God speak, let there be light. And so I've begun to start my days this way for a little while now. The very first words out of my mouth when I wake up, let there be light. And it's amazing how just such a simple little thing just sets the tone for the whole day, brings a different energy into the day. And then we get connected with God. We start walking out that plan with a willing heart and a good attitude, full confidence that He's right there with us every step of the way. And when we get to that place of confident faith, His grace just begins to surge through us. He begins to go to work. He begins to beautify our lives. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. Let's take a look at these scriptures today. God is always working. John chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus talking. He said, in His defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at His work to this very day, and I too am working. This is when they're accusing Him of working on the Sabbath. Jesus says, my Father is always working. Then in John 14:10, Jesus says, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it's the Father living in me who's doing the work. So we see God is always working. Jesus was doing his work, but it wasn't him doing the work. It's the Father in him that's doing the work. Well, that same Father, he lives on the inside of us now. We get to be in him. Jesus is in us. He's in him. We're all one together. We're unified together. And he's always working. He's doing that work through us. And it's us, I believe, learning how to rest and to trust in him doing that work through us, rather than us doing the work in our own strength. Jesus says, of my own self, I can do nothing. Jesus also said, the works that I'm doing, you're going to do, and you're going to do even greater. Because I believe it's supposed to go to the next level. The next generation is supposed to go to a higher level than the previous generation. So we're going to take communion over this today. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful that you are always working. Psalm 121:4, I believe, says that you neither slumber nor sleep. You're always watching over us. You're always protecting us. You're always working. We're asking for your help today, Lord. We're asking for wisdom and insight and understanding into what this means for us. We're asking for your help just to allow you to do that work in our lives. As you would go to work, we would get out of the way and allow you to do the work in our lives. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Just take a moment to remember. God didn't have to send Jesus. He could have left us on our own, separated from him forever, walking in darkness. But he loved us so much, he chose to send his one and only Son. Jesus is willing to come. He's willing to humble himself, even unto death on a cross. He's rejected by his people, betrayed by his own disciple. He's whipped and hit, spit on, mocked, ridiculed, nailed to a cross. Worst of all, I believe he's separated from God, and the cup of God's wrath is poured onto his body. Isaiah 53 says it pleased God to crush him. He was destroyed by God. He became sin for us. But on the other side, he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death. And that same victorious power, that same spirit that raised him from the dead, now lives on the inside of us. He connects us back to God, makes us one with God again. Makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight. Makes us new creations. All through his one sacrifice. So Father, we thank you for this bread. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. The Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. It's the forgiveness of sins that releases us from darkness, transfers us into the light. We can have this covenant relationship with God. Covenants had to be ratified in blood. We've got this blood sworn oath that God is working continually for our good. So, Father, we thank you for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right. One of the best ways I know to practice this, of God doing the work, is in our physical exercise. Gives you immediate feedback. Allows you to practice this. We talk about in our daily communion workouts. If you don't have the workouts, you can get on our email list at theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com. Practicing physical exercise and practicing allowing God to do the work through us rather than us doing it out of our own self-effort. It's a different way of exercising. And it teaches us how to do this. How do you do it? I think it starts with humility. You humble yourself. You take a smaller approach. You take a lighter weight. You take a humble approach. Because God gives grace to the humble. You humble yourself and allow him to do the work. You keep your focus on him. You focus on making every rep beautiful. You coordinate your movement and your breath. And just focus on allowing God to do the work through you. He's working from the inside out through you. And just focusing on allowing him to do that work through you in your physical exercise is a way for us to practice applying this every day. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.